But some people are thinking, what maybe only pastors supposed to talk with God, and maybe pastor has his own phone over there in the office over there, and he can open the phone and take the phone and talk directly to the Lord. It's a great desire, but in reality, quite often you see God is not sending me emails or the faxes. I don't have a fax machine from God. I know what so often I'm finding myself in the dark, like many of you are. And at the same time, on the other hand, there are times in my life when God speaks, when I have no doubt that all what this is, God is speaking to me right now. Just like then my wife is calling me, I'm never questioning here who it is, who is calling to me. I know she's calling, I know her voice, I know what my wife is calling. The same when God is talking to you and me, and if you know him, you will know what is God talking to you. What makes the difference? The difference is our attitude. Yes, is our attitude. And actually, we will see. This morning, I would like for you and me, as we will tune our voices and our ears to hear, we will see how we need to make a few steps ahead in order for us really to be prepared to listen to the voice of God. And we will start from the text of Luke chapter 8, verse 8. It's the bottom line in that particular verse. I should call it Luke 8 and 8 verse B. I would like for all of you to take your sermon outlines and use that sermon outline, please. How many of you received the sermon outline? All of you? Great. You have a pencils? You need to write something down over there. Please just follow the sermon outline as we will go ahead and study the Word of God and praise the name of Jesus. I would like to have a word of prayer once again. Our dear Heavenly Father, we really, honestly would like to hear your voice. Talk to us directly this morning. I appreciate all the prayers, all the beautiful music, and right now the fellowship with your daughters and with your sons. Bless us with your special presence here. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It says in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, the last sentence, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So often, we can hear and we can see what some cell phones are better than the others. Sometimes you have a clear connection when you're talking even in the room, but sometimes there is no connection at all. And what you need to do, you're usually trying to find the right spot. And you're moving from one place to another. And maybe by the window. And you can find, oh yes, it's a clear signal right now. Praise the Lord, you find the right spot and the right signal. But this is so often how it's happening in our days when we live in a sinful planet Earth. When always destruction, when always Satan is trying to cut off that signal which is coming from God. And you need to find the right spot, right place, and the right time when you will hear the voice of God. Because so often its reception is quite fuzzy. And what we need to do, we simply need to follow instructions which the Lord shared with us. The Lord shared with us in the story of Luke chapter 8, in the parable, in which he had said, let me explain, he said, that mental attitude, when I already mentioned to you attitude, let us see that mental attitude. There are four kinds of attitudes that will depend whatever you get the message clearly from God or whenever you don't. So often we need to see how we are really eager with desire to hear what the Lord wanted to tell us. And here the Lord Jesus is telling us a story in Luke chapter 8. He says, let me tell you a story. There was a farmer who gets out and sowed the seed. And as he went out to sow the seed, his seed scattered all over in different types of soil. Back in the Middle East, in the old days, they didn't plant one seed per spot and covered with the dirt. They just used that broadcasting. And maybe this is that they got that word out. Broadcasting. broadcasting. This is how we do with the evangelistic campaign as well. That's where we get this word broadcasting. Obviously, some of the seed fall on the good soil and some doesn't. He says there is the four soils represent four mental attitudes. There are not four kinds of people. There are not four kinds of people, but actually all of us have been with all these four kinds of types of the character. We vary from them time to time. Sometimes we are open to God, what he wanted to say to us, and sometimes we are so closed to listen to the voice of God. How do I hear God speak to me? And now, let's check your outlines, and you need to write your first sentence. It says, I must cultivate an open mind. I must cultivate an open mind. I got to want to hear God. I want to have an eager and be receptive. I got to be ready and willing heart to listen to the Lord. Some of you today are absolutely new believers, and you are seekers. Praise the Lord what you are here. You are checking out Christ. And we really would like to welcome you here at the Puna Church. And see, Jatan is here. It's great. I remember your baptism. I'm so glad for sister who just joined our church by the profession of faith. Honestly, we moved in America, and we had a hard time to transfer our membership from Russia. In those days, we had no computers, no direction directly, and we had a hard time with translation. And so far, they accepted us in 2001 by profession of faith. In 2001, this is how we moved our membership in America. Later on, we received actually a letter, but we started with profession of faith. So far, it's amazing to see how God is working in our hearts, and he would like for us to grow and to mature. But if you will not be ready to listen to the voice of God, it will be no way for God to reach you. And you see, I'm not talking about audible voice of God, but I would like for you to talk about the impression and that a clear feeling which you can hear and you can feel and experience, say, yes, Lord, it's exactly, I can hear and I can feel what this is coming exactly from you. One of the positive reasons why you never may be hearing the voice of God, simply, if I will just ask you here, some of you may be heard the voice of God already many times, but some of you will say, I've been already a member for so, so many years, and I can't think of time in my life when I ever actually heard what God was speaking to me. Maybe you didn't even know it was God directly talking to you. And this is what I wanted for us to see. According to the verses which God was sharing with us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, it says right here, some soil, some types of soil, right here according to verse 5 and 12, some seed fell on the path and it was tempted on. And the birds of the air came and ate it up. And according to verse 12, those along the path are like people who hear, and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. On every farm, in every field, there is a food path that the farmer would like to walk on. And he went on and went on many, many times back and forth over here. There is two characteristics of that food path. One, they are hardened because of the constant traffic of the people walking. The soil is compacted. It is no fertile or appropriate soil for the seeds to grow. The other thing about the path is so narrow. It's narrow. Do you know anybody in your life who is close-minded or narrow-minded? And this is what the Lord Jesus is telling us about. As a result, Jesus is saying about this farmer sowing the seeds, but he cannot produce any results simply because those people are close-minded and God cannot reach them. And the reason why? Simply because there is an explanation even toward this too. And here's the explanation. Now you need to write this down right in your sermon outline. What causes us to have a closed mind? It could be our pride. Pride causes us to have a closed mind. Pride causes us to have a closed mind. When we think, oh, I don't need God. I don't need to hear from God anything. I'm already growing up. I'm already more than a teenager. I know what I would like to do. I know my plans about my future. I know what will be best for me. But in the same time, even maybe you don't have time when you are jumping in your car and riding your car. You don't have time to pray and talk to God. Maybe because you think you can accomplish everything without God. And this is what it's called. It's pride. Fear. Pride causes us to have a closed mind. What about the fear? Sometimes we're just afraid of what God might say to us. What if we pray and God will open our mind and we will see, oh, God is telling me something. Oh, no, I don't want to hear this. When we talk today about David at our Sabbath school lesson, and we used his story many times, thank you, Brother John Sirigar, and thanks for all of your participation. But you see, the Lord Jesus showed to David what he should not fear about his sinful past. And he helped David to confess his sins and be rejuvenated again in the mercies of the Lord and enjoy his fullest life in the presence of God. Because with the fear, if you will continue with the fear, you will never enjoy and you will never receive the actual revelation from the Lord. And the third point here, it's bitterness. Whenever we are being hurt and we are holding that grudges and hurt in our heart, we start saying things like, God, why? Why did you allow this to happen to personally to me? Why this happening to my family? Why it's really happening to all of us here? God, where are you? What is happening? And God has given us many, many explanations and stories in the pages of the Bible what God is in control of everything. But he allows for all of us to experience complete freedom and freedom of choice. Just recently, 2 weeks ago, we heard a sad, sad story in Norway. In the beginning, they were reporting more than 100 people received after the shooting. Went straight into the hospital. But more than 30 people already died and passed away. After one guy who came to the camp, and the young teenagers over there from the ages 14 to 19, and he started to shoot on all of them from the automatic rifle. It was terrible what happened just 2 weeks ago. I was checking on news last week in Russia. Another guy came to one of the family and killed 5 people at once in a quite a popular city next to Moscow, slightly south of Moscow, in the city of Tula. Said, what is really happening? Where is God? Why God is allowing for this to happen? God gave the freedom of choice for all the human beings here in this world. But you know, we need to remember, you are going to be hurt in whole entire life if you will simply hold to your hurt. This is what the suggestion to all of us. What you do with what hurt will determine whenever you become a bitter person or a better person. It's so hard to accept a fact. But this is what God is teaching us to do because he knows what in the future is going to be. For us, he would like to open the windows of heaven with all his blessings, and he would like to invite you and me to spend eternity with him. Because life is so short in this world. It's full of sickness and illnesses and death. A bitter life is a wasted life. When we become bitter and when we hold to our hurts, we only prolong our pain. They hurt me. Oh, maybe you will say this. They hurt me and I'm just going to close myself. I will just build a wall. Maybe just I hide myself in that shell and there is no way even I will not talk to God. And there is no way for you to receive a revelation or hear the voice of God because of your bitterness, which you're still holding in your heart. Oh, my dear beloved, I really would like for you to be open-minded this morning. People who have been deeply hurt often have a hard time opening their minds and their hearts to God. They held so much to their hurt. And obviously, in the church, some of you have been deeply hurt in the past. Then some of you maybe have lost a loved one. Maybe recently, maybe you lost your relative or friend. Maybe a child or a young child. Maybe you still feel pain. Some of you maybe been abused as a children, or you molested, or maybe have even been raped. Some of you were verbally abused, physically abused, emotionally abused. Some of you have been betrayed and went through the betrayal of your spouse who was unfaithful to you and that still hurt. Some of you maybe have been hurt by the other church member, right? Even in the Seventh-day Adventist church. You know, so many members are not attending the church simply, not because of God and their relationship with God, but because they've been hurt by the other member and they're afraid to come again and they don't want to come again because they've been hurt. If you have been deeply hurt, let me say just two things to you. One, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you hurt. I really mean it. I'm sorry you hurt. God hurts with us. He weeps with us. This is what it says in the Bible. God weeps with us. I remember at the funeral at one time, a woman asked me, "Where was God where my son died?" It's so hard to answer in that particular time and the moment, but I thought kind of later, the same place he was then his son died on the old rugged cross. God has not promised to all of us to be exempt from all the pain and sorrows which we are going here on this earth. And the second reason, I want to say to you, when you are in pain, when you are in hurt, don't run out of God. Please run to God. Run directly to God. He is the only one who can help you. He's the only one who can comfort you. He's the only one who can care for you. Because He is the only one and you are running out of Him. Please, just instead, simply look at the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Get rid of all your moral filth and the evil that is so prevailed and humbly accept." You can see this here. Humbly accept. It will be nice if you will even circle that accept. The word planted in which you can, save you. The word planted in you which can save you. Let God of love really help you to be saved for eternity. You will simply accept His love and His word. It will be nice if we will write in our sermon outlines this next step here. I must allocate time to listen. Oh, and here I really wanted to share with you something important. I must allocate time to listen. I've got to make time to hear Him. I've got to slow down and be quiet and plain in all my schedule. You see, it's quite interesting. What we live in a time in the market economy. Here in America, we are planning everything. Dentist, according to the appointment. Doctor's appointment. It's fine. And if you say to somebody, "Okay, I'm busy, I have appointment," nobody's questioning you. Fine, you have appointment, great. All right. Okay, why we don't schedule appointment with God? Why we are not schedule appointment with God where we will set apart a special time and say, "Okay, this is the time which I would like to allocate and dedicate. Now I have appointment with God." You know what? God made appointment with you for 24 hours. He gave you enough freedom for you to sleep, to rest, to enjoy 24 hours on the Sabbath. But during your week, He would like to have appointment with you as well. You see, we live in a time when people are questioning our situation right now about the Federal Express. Oh, this mail is going so slow in our days, people say. It's like, the people call it a snail mail. Yes, snail mail, what's that? Because it goes so slow, you see. Now in our days, you just need to use a computer. Just push one button, send the email or send something else, and it's going to be just instantly in the moment, at noon time. It's no time at all. Oh yes, we're always in a hurry. We're always planning something and always in a rush. We're always trying to do something special and unusual because we are living in a rush times. Yes, even right now with the modern technology, cell phones. Why are they producing and building right now new towers? 4G, they call it. Any one of you heard it? 4G, why? Why do we need that? Oh yes, they will tell you. It will be a quicker reception. It will be quicker with emails. You will receive emails. You will download music, movies, whatever. Everything will be instantly quicker. Now you can do it too, but it's quite slow. Oh, it's really getting you frustrated. No, it's very slow. We need to do it quicker, and people are ready to pay more money for this. Why? Because of the communication and speed. Yes, when we live in such a hurried lifestyle, we are wondering, where is God? It's supposed to be appointment with God. Make an appointment in your schedule when you will see God, when you will listen to God, when we will hear His voice directly, when He is directly would like to talk to you. It is no way when you will say to God, God, I have right now only 1 minute, and if you would like to speak to me, just do it right now, otherwise I need just to do my business. It's exactly what in Luke chapter 8, verse 6 and 13 are telling us about. Other seed fell in shallow soil with the rock beneath. This seed began to grow, but soon withered and died for the lack of moisture. And verse 13, those in the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. They have a shallow, shallow, superficial faith. How else we will call this? It's simply superficial faith. Oh, I can't tell you how many times people are telling me, Pastor, it was such a wonderful sermon. It was a great message. Oh, I really was touched. I was touched, really. I moved. I moved to tears. I said, praise the Lord. How nice to hear these words. But a month later, they are still living in the same condition. 2 months later, nothing is happening. No changes at all in their relationship, in their behavior, in their attitude. Why? Because they are closed-minded. They listened, they enjoyed, they said, praise God. They're going out, and they're forgetting everything what they just heard. It's exactly what the whole entire America is trying to tell us right now. Oh, here I wanted to show you the rocks over there in Israel. This is the actual land and the dirt over there. Quite similar to what we have in Hawaii, yeah? Especially on a big island. Yes, we have lava rocks over here. They have slightly, it's a kind of a white rocks over there. Yeah, it's a lame stone over there. They call it limestone. And it's so hard for anything to grow. But here is the statistics. In the United States, Air Force did a study and found out what we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear without how many hours? 72 hours. Let me ask you, who was preaching last weekend here? Bill Church, praise the Lord. Okay, some of you quite clearly remember. Okay, anyone of you remember what verses he used? No, we are real people. I don't remember either because I was not here. Anyway, but so far, what I'm trying to ask you, what I wanted to tell you, honestly, you see, if I will ask you, how many of you believe what all the Ten Commandments are powerful, valuable, and we need to know the Ten Commandments? How many of you believe? All the Ten Commandments. All of you. Yes, praise the Lord. All the Ten Commandments. If I will ask you, could you just come to the front and recite every one of them by memory? I'm sure many of you will do, maybe, because we're in a Seventh-day Adventist church. We know the Ten Commandments. But maybe some of you will hesitate. Say, no, I'm not ready yet. I need to recite and try to repeat and try to memorize them again. But if we are saying what we believe in the whole Ten Commandments, that they're all powerful, faithful, and true, great. But in the same time, if we cannot recite them, if we cannot hear and see and tell about them openly, it means how we really can live according to the Ten Commandments if we don't remember them. according to the verse 13. They receive the word with joy. Oh, just remember this joy over here. You can even circle this. But then they hear it, they don't have the roots, and they forget everything so quickly and so immediately. Okay, you need to remember. Some of you, maybe you've been a Christian for how many years? Some of you, maybe I will ask you, for how many years you've been a Christian? Some of you maybe raise your hand and say, okay, for 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, 20 years, 30 years. You see, and some of you will say, okay, 27 years, great, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe you have an experience only for 1 year as a real Christian. Maybe throughout the whole 27 years, only 27 times God put you and placed you in such a situation where he really tested your faith throughout the whole 27 years. And maybe you have an experience of only 1 year instead of whole 27 years. And you really need to put opportunity right now in front of you what God is asking you to have a relationship with him. You need to make a schedule. You need to put God first in your schedule and say, God, I would like to have a time personally with you. Having a pastor here already, I remember my son is right now 18. I've been pastoring for 17 years now, okay? And actually, throughout all those years, I should tell you, I've seen many people who have started off great in their ministry. But then they became first believers. They were so excited with enthusiasm, and they were full of joy when they received the message. But today, if you ask me about some of those people, I can't find them. I can't see them anymore. They're not in the church anymore. Why? Something happened in their life. And they're not in contact directly with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, anymore. You see, it takes commitment for you to be a Seventh-day Adventist. It takes commitment for you to be a real Christian. It takes commitment for you to be a good wife, to be a good husband, to be a good boy, to be a good girl for your mom and dad. When it takes commitment, and this is what God is asking us to do, commitment. Why should God teach me new things if I haven't put into the practice the older things which I already forgot? What I need to do? I simply need to listen to the message from the Lord in our days and put it in practice. You see what Sister White is writing to us here. According to the Desire of Ages, chapter 8, this is what she is writing to us. It was slightly more than 150 years. It will be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour. How many days? Each day. A thoughtful hour. In contemplation of the life of Christ, we should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. You see, she's suggesting so openly, use your imagination when you're praying. Think about the cross. Think about the blood which is shed for you. Or think about everything what Jesus went because of you. And thee thus dwell upon, this is what she's writing here, and thee thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us. Our confidence in him will be more constant. Our life will be more quickened. And we shall be more deeply, how I should read this word?
Imbued.
It means more filled, yes? More filled with his Holy Spirit. And we should be saved at last. We must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. My dear beloved, how much time do we really spend in our prayer during the daytime, during the regular day? How much time? Trying to count. On some days, I should just testify to you, some day when I'm counting, say, Lord, it's been less than 15 minutes today. Some days, just maybe 5 minutes. I say, Lord, there is no way for me to survive in a relationship with you. I have only 5 minutes for the whole entire day with you. It's supposed to be no less than 1 hour. In our days, when we are so in such a rush, we're always rushing. We're always the cell phone, emails, whatever, with all the technology, with all the conveniences, we have no time for God. There is no way for us to hear him if there is no time for God. I must eliminate all the distractions. A lot of times, we miss hearing God because our minds are completely crowded with all other thoughts and distractions. Our minds are filled with the concerns of the daily living, worries, plans and goals, ambitions, bills, all the different kinds of stuff. When our mind is filled and full with all this thinking about all the other things, but not about God, an opportunity to hear for Him in silence. Many times, God wanted to speak to you, but when you would like to reach Him, the line is busy. Have you experienced that? Honestly, I could tell you, the last May, just a few months ago, I decided to call my parents on the Mother's Day. I said, oh, I will surprise my mom. I'm calling her on the Mother's Day. Great. And I used my phone, and it said, the circle is busy. The circle are busy. I said, why? The circle is busy because everybody is calling their moms on their Mother's Day. And I tried the other cell phone. Fortunately, it worked. But so far, it's great for us to see and know what the line to reach. God is never busy. Yeah, God is always available for you. Oh, one more thing I experienced over here in the Big Island. When they had that tsunami alert, remember? Tsunami alert? Yeah, I used my cell phone too. And it just repeated me the same sentence. All the circuits are busy. All the circuits are busy. And there is no way to reach anybody. You see, it means in the time of trouble, when it will be the last moment, there will be no way for you to reach God. It will be nice if you will have a clear communication and relationship with God right now. Because when it will be no connection with God, this is what Jesus experienced on the old rugged cross. When He cried out quite loud, He said, my God, why you have forsaken me? Yes, He said these words. But He relied on the experience from the past. He remembered how much God really loved him. And He relied on that experience, and He dedicated His lives for you and me. According to Luke chapter 8, we're getting close here to the point for us to see the whole entire point, what I'm trying to share with you. Verses 7 and 14. Other seed fell among their thorns, weeds, which grew up and choked the plains. And according to the verse 14, it says, this seed that fell among the thorns and stands or represents those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they choke with life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They're missing the point. They're missing the boat. The soil with the weeds, this third kind of soil that the farmer is throwing the seeds on, is representing the preoccupied mind. Oh, we are preoccupied with so many things. Why is it so many people are in life, they're living an unproduced life? I talk to people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even with the 60s. Even with those people, they're saying to me, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm sorry, you're over 60. And they're questioning that. And the only answer I could tell and share with you, you are not spending enough time and enough time with God. If you will spend enough time with God, you will know, you will hear, and you will have a clear vision, because God created you and me for the real purpose and the reason. And He knows what is best for you. He's not playing the games with you. He knows what is better for you. He knows what is best for you. Okay, let's write our last line over here. I must cooperate with what He says. And the fourth soil is represent a willing heart, willing to do whatever God wants us to do. It says in these verses, according to the verse 15, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hears the word of God. I must cooperate with what He says. I must cooperate with what He says. And according to verse 15, we can see what we even maybe need to underline here. The only one way for us to hear God and hear Him speaking to us, we need to be open-minded. What you like to make in your life count, just simply look at another verse here. It's in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. Then do what it says right here. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. You kid yourself if you think you're growing just by going to church. Do what it says. I really wish if you will in your Bibles underline these two verses, 22 and especially 23. Powerful, powerful verses which God wanted to share with you and me for us not to listen, but write everything down, because I personally believe what the shortest pencil is much longer than our memory. That the shortest pencil is much will extend much longer than our memory. We need to write everything down. We need to repeat again, and we need to remember that the Word of God is telling us. Don't merely listen, but put it in practice. I recently was reading a story about a young girl, but she's young, not young anymore, by the name Wendy. And this is what she shared. Pastor, my childhood was... I was molested, she was said. She was saying here, right from the beginning. I grew up thinking the only value I had to give to anyone was sexual. As I became a young adult, my lifestyle reflected that belief. This created a deep sense of guilt and feelings of worthlessness of me. Even after I decided to dedicate my life to Christ in 1988, I still struggled with those feelings of worthlessness and guilt. I knew the Bible said I was forgiven for my past, for all my sins, and everything was disappeared and I washed away and God made me whiter than snow. But every time I would pray, I felt like what God is telling to me, who are you to talk to me? And of course, if you think God feels that way about you, it doesn't motivate you to spend so much time with Him. I started to visit elderly people of our church, and I started to talk to them, and I received a lot of wisdom. I taught at a Sabbath school class. I sang in the choir. I dragged my husband off to the Wednesday Bible studies and Wednesday prayer meetings. Every Saturday, I still felt I'm still worthless. Slowly, God began to soften my heart with His love and open my closed mind. I discovered what He loved me completely and unconditionally. He purposed for asking me to meet with Him on a daily basis and to do good works was not so what He would love me, but because He already did love me. He wanted me to live in respect to His grace and not to just pursue it. This truth made me want to hear God speak directly to me. I can keep my eyes on Him and listen to Him and stress all my problems and worries only to Him, and I share with Him everything what is really distracting and overwhelming me in my life. On the other hand, I look at all the circumstances around me. Some of you attempts to make time to listen to God, but I made a schedule, and this is what is my schedule. For instance, recently I began setting the alarm in my bedroom. So I have to get up and go and turn the alarm off. It was quite in a distance. Once, when I got up, I went into the quiet time, and I know now it's my time with God. But having an open mind and making time with God is not enough. I found out what God is not only wanted for me to have time with Him, He wanted to cooperate with me and tell me a lot what I should do and should I change. That is not easy at all. For instance, when I married Tony, I create a real problem between me and his little girl. To put it quite openly and bluntly here, I felt like my stepdaughter hated me. She was hurting, and of course her anger hurt me a lot. I prayed and I prayed to God will change her and her attitude toward me, but nothing happened for years. And I began to get a little frustrated with God until I heard His voice so clear to me, Wendy, she's not the one with the problem. You need to go and ask her for forgiveness. No, that was not easy at all. And I wanted to hear God, and I didn't want to hear that from Him. But I went, and I did everything right according to what the Lord told me to do. Finally, I admitted what God is right in everything, what He's suggesting to me, and I was wrong. He was going to have to give me the desire and the power to do it. And the amazing thing is that whenever I let go of my pride and ask God to change my heart, He does. My heart changed over the years as I communicated with all the beloved Christians and as went in cooperating with God, even though it was difficult. The hurts between us were healed. Through the years, I've been grown in my relationship with Christ and with God, my Savior. And I was reading this story. I wanted to ask myself the question. Here, to this question, we can see what God wanted for you and me to put in real practice. What are you going to do with the results of the message today? The Bible says, "He who hears, let him hear." And this is the message for today. What are you going to do right now in your real practice? I really would like for all of us to remember that easy verse to remember, which is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 8, the last sentence. If you hear his voice, please do it, and do it for his glory. Maybe you simply need to set a time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but do it regularly, every single day, and you will see how God will speak to you. I would like to pray with you as we will have our closing song.